Happy Sabbath again. Our scripture reading is found in Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this reading. I ask that you bless it and bless the preacher. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let me say good morning. Happy Sabbath to everybody. How you doing? Is everybody okay? All right, by God's grace. All right, we have... I need to say thank you, God, for bringing me here and for allowing me to talk to the church. I would say his holy church, the church of God, for whom Jesus has died. And I have the privilege talking to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he trusted me with this message for us, not just for you, but for me as well. And the title of it is what? The shortness of time, of the time, however you want to say it. So, what I want to say, who has never got up from sleep to inquire about the time or about the day to say, oh, I'm going to be late, only to find out that they had no appointment that day or the appointment has already been honored? It is not so for the time we live in. So let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you allow your children to gather in this beautiful church to worship you. And you have a message for your children, ready to hear your voice. Please manifest your presence in our midst by giving us the understanding and by prompting us to practice. Bless those who will watch online and everyone that needs to prepare for the second coming of Christ. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the message that will be conveyed in this presentation will have the virtue to help our audiences to soberly wake up before it is too late. You may wake up, but it may be too late. And it is never too early to wake up. Better to wake up early than what? Than too late. When it's too late, it's over. But there's one thing. You may be waking up early, but the things that you need to do to prepare to go to the airport, you delay to do them, you delay doing them or to do them, and you get to the airport too late. That happens to me. In 2008, I was in Georgia, and I was ready to go to New York, where I lived at that time, New York City. And then I went to the airport, Atlanta Airport. When I got there, 1 minute before time. And the agent told me, you're too late. I missed the flight. And I've got to pay the Spirit Airline $100 more to get another plane to go to New York City. It was too late. But I was up early, too late in preparation. Think about it. So my brothers and my sisters, the time it is. Romans 13 verse 11. Can somebody read it with me? And that knowing what? The time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I was born in the message, raised in the message. I'm still preaching the gospel. And if I were to compare my time when I was growing up and now, would I say it's the same? No. That now it is high time, nearer than when we believed. You just got baptized probably 1 year ago. But Jesus is nearer than when you got baptized, whether it be you or my daughter or Joe, it is nearer, and probably we stay the same. It is high time in this context means that some people are almost late in their preparation to meet the Lord. And I promise you, brethren, that none can safely be late for this last event. There is nothing we can do to make it over if we miss it. You miss it, it's over. Another time, going to Georgia, I went to Newark Airport to get my airplane. When I get to the airport on time, on time this time, I went to check to get my pass, onboard pass. Boarding pass, that's the way they call it. Boarding pass. Unfortunately, I went to a different airplane to get my boarding pass. I spent the whole time, what's going on here? I cannot get my boarding pass. Finally, after too many minutes, too long, I went to an agent to ask, what's going on? He said, look, your ticket. It's not this airplane company. You need to go to a different company. It was too late for me. I'm telling you, I don't want to be late for my eternal life. I don't want to be late. They've got to give me another ticket to get another airplane to go to Georgia. But for this one, there is nothing you can do. It's over. All right. Let's go, my brothers and sisters, knowing the time. This text is a warning. It says that we know the time because of the signs of the time. If we know the time by identifying the signs of the time, our job is to act how? Accordingly, our behavior should show whether we are wise or foolish. Also, the text states that many are asleep, like if everything was all right. And I feel like the church is like that. We are sleeping like foolish virgin, not having any oil in reserve for their lamps. And they felt comfortable sleeping like babies. It says, but this attitude is a very dangerous condition that one can be in. In fact, what puts us asleep? Do you know? Let's see. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with what? Surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. Luke 21:34. What does make us so sleepy? Drunkenness, suffering, cares of this life, and then the day get us unaware. Suffering, which is excess in food, intemperance, alcoholism, and cares of this life will be a terrible reason of many to be lost. What will I eat? What will I give to our children? When Sunday law strikes, I have two children. They so small. Three children, four children, one child. How will I feed them when I cannot work on the other days and I should not work on Sunday? And you have to work on Saturdays. What will I give them for food? And this day will get us unaware. Think about it, young people. If you happen to get married, you better buckle it up. Seal it. Why did Jesus say to his disciples and to us? Why did Jesus say that to his disciples and to us? The answer follows. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Luke 21:34. As what? Snare. What is a snare? Trap. If it's a trap, you don't know it's a trap. You get entrapped. You cannot flee. It's over, like a bird being caught. That's the reason that Jesus said, be careful. The above verse refers to the overwhelming surprise that will take over the earth as a snare. The Bible says, for when they shall say peace and safety. Can we say peace and safety today? Can we say that? Do you see peace and safety? For when they shall say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I see many mothers here in this church, and every one of you guys knows how the pain coming before birth can be surprising, particularly when you have to give birth to your child. Sometimes my mom gave birth to many of us at home. No time to get to the hospital. and you've got to get someone to pick up the baby for you. Anybody. Otherwise, you can be dead as well as the child. The second coming. Let me inform you, brethren, that the second coming will not be a surprise for us. Will it be a surprise? Some people tell you that Jesus may come today or tomorrow. That's not true. Jesus cannot come today nor tomorrow, even in 1 year. I'm telling you. Because there are signs to be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is conditional upon, he will come anyway. But the signs that he has given in Matthew 24 need to be fulfilled. And then you will see, you will see. The only surprise that will get us, that we will get, not because we won't be ready for that, but because none will know when it will happen. The end of the investigative judgment is the only thing that will get us unawares. Because as Seventh-day Adventists, we know that God will tell us exactly when Jesus will come. So it will not be a surprise for anybody. It will not be a surprise for us. So the surprise will come when the investigative judgment is going on in heaven for us, the living, and nobody knows when your name will come before God. Nobody knows. You may be going to work and your name is being analyzed along with everything that you've done or said or think of, and God is looking. The angels are looking. And then what happens next? Your sins have been forgiven. You sealed. Your sins have not been forgiven. You marked. Bottom line. So, this is it. Watch ye therefore, Luke 21 verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What are these things that shall come to pass? And we will see it. If we are not sealed, we will not be able to escape these things and stand before Jesus at his coming. Luke 21 verse 36 uses two key words. And I bet many of us, not just here in this church, but many of us as Seventh-day Adventists do not know one of them, or do not use one of them, or do not benefit from one of them. What does it say? Watch and pray. Which one do you use? You will probably say, okay, I pray in the morning. I pray probably 5 seconds of prayer. At night, not even one thought of prayer, and you go to bed. Okay, but you can say that you pray. But what about this? Watch. Watch and pray that ye enter not into what? Temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Talking to Peter, Jesus has warned him to watch and pray. Watch what? The signs of the time. Because you will see. When will the temptation come to Peter? It was in the time of persecution. And that time of persecution began with whom? With Jesus Christ. They came to arrest Jesus Christ, and you know how hard it was on Jesus and on Peter altogether. Jesus told him to do what? To watch and pray. Did he watch and pray? No. Jesus brought him and two other disciples to the mount to pray with him. They would fall asleep. And they didn't know that the time was short. when Jesus told them that he would be arrested and they would be dispersed, Peter did not believe. On the contrary, he said, wherever you go, I will go. Even if you happen to die, I will die with you. Well, Jesus will die at that time. What will Peter do? He will betray Jesus Christ 3 times in a row. He did not watch. He did not pray. This, God puts it in the Bible so that we can remember. Because persecution will happen in our time. All right. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. People will say, okay, this is talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, this is not talking about the second coming of Christ. This is talking about the end of the investigative judgment. One more time, and I cannot stress this more. Here, Jesus is not referring to his second coming. He's talking about the end of the investigative judgment, the preliminary judgment. When it is done, it will be over, and none knows when that will happen to him. Not to the whole church altogether, to every individual in the church. Probably my name will come before every one of you, because I was born, and I think that my age is way too much for you, since you get baptized. Salvation in danger nearer. Isn't it strange that even us as Seventh-day Adventists, we are sleeping in a very dangerous time? The thing is, the dangerous time coincides with the salvation time. But there is barely any preparation either for the danger that is lurking around us or for the salvation that is nigh. We're not preparing. How could one's life is in danger without knowing it when there are signs that their life is at risk? How come our salvation is very nigh and we act as if we are here for a long time? That is how we know that many will be lost. They do not know the time they are living in and what awaits them. Do you know what awaits us? Do you know? Romans 13 verse 12. The night is far spent. Can somebody tell me when the night began? The night is far spent. Can somebody tell me when the night began? The night began since the introduction of sin on earth. Can somebody tell me? How many years since? 6,000 years around that time since sin. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day is he talking about? The second coming of Christ. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Did you see the works of darkness earlier? Drunkenness, suffering, cares of this life, and we will see more. And let us put on the armor of light. The night begins since the sin of our first parents in the Garden of Eden has been committed. Before our salvation, it will last 6,000 years. What are these? Works of darkness. Paul inserts in the same chapter, Romans 13 verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't want to talk about adultery, but you know what is adultery. It is not just physical. It is mental. It is spiritual. Okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. You don't have to kill physically. And I'm telling you, if you show me your gun like that, I can call 911. And they will take you to jail. And the judge will say, what? I don't know, probably second degree attempted murder. I don't know the terminology. Eh? Attempted murder? Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. Okay. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal tithes and offerings. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We lie all the time. And we say that we are Seventh-day Adventists, but our behavior does not show that. You are lying. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So my brothers and sisters, Romans 13 verse 13. Ha! Rioting, strife, and envying. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Romans 13 verse 13. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. What do these words mean? This is it. This is here in America. Back then you would say, oh, this is Haiti. This is Africa, Nigeria. Well, this is here. Here in America, and you will find it anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Who does these things and others? Who takes it to the street to destroy, steal, and kill? All these things a Christian waiting for the second coming of the Lord cannot do, though the reason for doing them may appear good. I care if you kill someone. I do care. But I will not take it to the street. I will not do that. Now, Webster Merriam defines riot that way. A violent public disorder, specifically a tumultuous disturbance of the public peace by three or more persons assembled together and acting with a common intent. Strife is defined by bitter, sometimes a violent conflict or dissension, exertion or contention for superiority. All right? So, let's see that. Labor union strife riot. Is anybody member of any union? No? What does Sister White say about it? The labor unions are quickly stirred to violence if their demands are not complied with. Plainer and plainer is it becoming that the inhabitants of the world are not in harmony with God. No scientific theory can explain the steady march of evil workers under the general shape of Satan. In every mob, wicked angels are at work, rousing men to commit deeds of violence. Who is prompting them to take it to the street? The devil. Should a Seventh-day Adventist, no matter the reason, be there? No. Would we endorse them or give them money? No. Romans 13 verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus' warnings about sign precursors of his second coming, Matthew 24 verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. But we are. Because of what is taking place where? In Ukraine. And this has saddened me. Because so many people are dying for nothing. Jesus is talking here, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Highlight this. But the end is not yet. Don't we say this is the end of time? Because of what we see taking place? And even the Supreme Court deciding to overthrow, what is the name of that thing? Roe and Wade? Wade and Roe? Versus Roe? Wade versus Roe? Am I correct? Okay, however you put it. This is the sign of the time, and people have already went to the street to manifest their angriness or anger towards Supreme Court. And this will take a long time before any peace. And we will see it. Okay, we may say that wars and rumors of wars are not the end yet. But it may not what Ukrainians believe today. They may believe this is the end of time for them. In fact, though the war that is waging in Ukraine is a precursor of the end of time, but to me it is precipitating the end of time. Let's read some quote from Sister White. She said, "The perversity and cruelty of men will reach such a height that God will reveal himself in his majesty. Very soon, the wickedness of the world will have reached its limit, and as in the days of Noah, God will pour out his judgment." When you think about what the army of Russia has done to civilians in Ukraine, burying them the way that he did, they did, this is cruelty. If you tie, I don't know, if I am under your control, why do you kill me anyway? And not even in my face, but in my back. Let's see. The tempest is coming, and we must get ready for its fury by having repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will rise to shake terribly the earth. We shall see troubles on all sides. Thousands of ships will be hurled into the depths of the sea. Navies will go down, and human lives will be sacrificed by millions. We have never seen these things. We will see them. And these things taking place in Ukraine are nothing comparing to that. She said, thousands of ships will be hurled into the depths of the sea. Navies will go down, and human lives will be sacrificed by millions. Fires will break out unexpectedly, and no human efforts will be able to quench them. The palaces of earth will be swept away in the fury of the flames. The end is near. Probation is closing. Oh, let us seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In the last scenes of this earth history, war will rage. There will be pestilence. Pestilence. Give me one name of a pestilence that you know. COVID. And COVID comes in multiple forms. You've got COVID-19, and then you have what? The other one. Delta, and then you have what? Omicron. And now you have another one, a subvariant, I don't know its name. And then you have another one. That's why Sister John told us to wear a mask. Pestilence, plague, and famine. The waters of the earth, the deep will overflow their boundaries. What does Sister White is talking about? Water of the deep will overflow their boundaries. Tsunamis. property in life will be destroyed by fire and flood. We should be preparing for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for them that love him. Jesus, the great prophet, predicted, Matthew 24, verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquake where?" She doesn't say all the earth. If you are waiting to see those things on all the earth, big mistake. Jesus said, where? Not every place. Diverse or diverse places. You may find it somewhere, and somewhere else, there is none. And you may say, okay, Jesus will not come now because it's not all over. Jesus did not say it will be all over. I want you to notice that Jesus did, okay, I said it already. Some people may say, okay, I said it already. Okay, you got it. Notice how did the master qualify these events. He said that they are the beginning of sorrows. They are what? The beginning of sorrows. Or they are precursors of the very end of time. You may not believe me. Here is the bridge. Huh? Here is the bridge or connecting word that Jesus uses between the beginning of sorrows and the sorrows themselves, which are the very end of time. Look at that. Then, Matthew 29, verse 24, verse 9. Earlier it was 24, verse 8. And Jesus said, then, after war, rumors of wars, pestilences, famines, and those things, he said, then is the bridge or connecting word between those two very important periods of our earth history. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. What will bring about the affliction upon the church? Can somebody tell me? You said what? Sunday law. That means after these things, there will be one single event that will come. It will be Sunday law. Jesus says it. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And he shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want to tell you, nations is not just little nations. It means also what? Churches against you. Okay. Here Jesus says clearly that persecution, which he considers at the end of time. Persecution is the end of time. It will come after the signs that he himself has given us. Affliction. The affliction is synonymous of persecution. Persecution will come about through the introduction of a law, which we call Sunday law or laws. Why do I say laws? Because there are three phases of Sunday law. The first one, regard families. This is the first one that will be taken all over the world. Okay. The second will be no buy, no sell. Think about it. The American government has decided to come with a digital currency. So that little piece of paper that you have in your pocket will be of no importance down the road. And he gave them 273 days, if I'm not mistaken, and we have almost 2 months has already passed. For these people, these agencies that he asked to come up with a digital currency. Now, think about that. They say they will control everyone, every movement, every dollar that you spend will be controlled. Will it not be easier for them to say you cannot buy and sell? This is where our problems will lie. You cannot buy, you cannot sell. In my work, my former work, there's a vending machine. You don't even have to use your card or any physical money. You just put your finger. In CVS, where I used to work, you just put your finger in the vending machine and you pay. Now, no buy, no sell. Think about your children. Think about your mother. She is 93 years of age, or I don't know. And you need to feed her. And there's a Sunday law going on. And these people tell you, if you do not keep Sunday as day of rest, there will be no food for your mom. And if there is no food for your mom, the law said it is criminal to allow your mom to die without food. And I'm telling you, it is the same for your children. How old are they? 7, 9, 12, even 17 years of age. No food. Then you get arrested. You get arrested. And the last one is death decree. Because you refuse to obey here, they give you some chains. You come here, you still refuse to keep Sunday as day of rest. Then they come up with death decree. This is the end of time, Sunday law, beginning with the first phase. Let me go faster. I need to finish. What is that? I don't know if I can do anything with that. Hey. How do you operate that? Let me see. No? Oh, my God. I would show you how labor unions people, climate activist people, and French secular people, media, and Pope, and everyone have decided now as I'm talking to bring on the scene a Sunday law. So don't forget that after wars, rumors of wars and famines, pestilences and these things, the end will come. What is the end? Sunday laws. You know how to operate it? Come, my brother, we need to finish. I don't know how to do it. Oh, I may go to probably to, okay, let me show you. Let me see something. No? No? Okay. Ta-da! Try it. My brothers and sisters, it's over. That's why I told you, do not sleep. And you need to watch. What should you watch? The signs of the times. Where will you find them? On your phone. On your TV, wherever you can find them, because prophecy works along with history. Where will you find history from? Television. I'm not asking anybody to have cable home and to allow your children to watch whatever. I'm talking about the signs of the time. Closed when? Sunday. Don't forget, after the signs, which are not the end, will come what? The end. What is the end? Sunday law. In the minds of some in the secular news media, the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Why can't our people connect the dots? The push for Sunday rest has united religious, political, and social groups in a common cause. This is exactly what Pope Francis predicted in his encyclical on climate change, Laudato Si, number 23, when he said, "The climate is a common good." When people are talking about climate change, they following after the step of the Pope asking to keep Sunday if we do not keep Sunday, the climate will be polluted and we will get the same problems over and over. But the Pope says there is one way to cope with climate change is to keep Sunday as day of rest. This is the exact same thing that is replicated all over news media. Wherever you go, the same thing. Political, secular, religious people are talking about the same topic. And we are asleep. We don't even talk about it. We don't even know anything about it. We don't know anything about the Great Reset. We don't know anything about climate change. And we say that we're preparing for the second coming of Christ. This is exactly what Pope Francis predicted in his encyclical on climate change, Laudato Si, number 23, when he said, the climate is a common good belonging to all and meant for all. Humanity is called to recognize the need for changes. What change is this man talking about? One of those changes is the need for Sunday rest, as described in Laudato Si, number 233. On May 3rd, 2022, the Loco, a French news media site, published an article about Sunday shopping restrictions in France and named those who were behind the push for Sunday rest. Notice what was published. While traditionally it was Christian groups who opposed Sunday opening, these days it is just as likely to be trade unions. I talked to you earlier about trade unions. Seventh-day Adventists are not part of that. You do not accept those things. Do not ever be member of any kind of trade union, be it in our ranks, who are concerned about the effect on employees' work-life balance and right to time off if Sunday opening becomes the norm. That means legal. Some supermarkets have attempted to circumvent this by opening on Sundays with automated checkouts only in order to reduce staffing levels. Increasingly, green groups... Have you heard about Green Sunday? Yeah. They're talking about going green on Sunday. That means no traffic. You don't use your car. No transportation on Sunday. You go to church, the closest to you, on foot, please. If you can use your bike, okay, use your bike. I'm not talking about motorcycle. I'm talking about bike. Bicycles. Okay. Sunday, am I right? Well, was, okay. With automatic checkout and groups are open. On reducing consumption in order to save the planet. Keep Sunday to save the planet. Why don't you take Saturday instead? Because the day to save the planet is not Sunday. It's Saturday. But none of us would ask to make it a law. Okay, let me finish. Sunday openings are opposed by churches, labor unions, and environmentalists. Sunday openings are opposed by what? Churches, labor unions. That labor unions want what? Want what? Sunday law. Churches want Sunday law. Labor unions want Sunday law. Climate change people, environmentalists want Sunday law. Who else? Politics. They want what? Sunday law, except for a few. Even some Seventh-day Adventists, they want it. Not only has the climate movement embraced Sunday rest, but it has also taken up the cause of Sunday closing. This contributes to the Pope's vision of Laudato Si being implemented throughout society. The Sunday movement is being driven by the climate change crisis and all other man-made disasters. God foretold the following event. I'm going to finish right here. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath. You dead? Okay. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought by violating Sunday Sabbath to them. This sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. Strictly enforced, that means by law. And that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, they're talking about us, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Brothers and sisters, this time that we live in is very, very short. Once the power of Russia will be done away with, expect to see much changes around. China will follow after. That's me saying it. China is a challenger of the United States of America. The Bible says it is not China that will ask all the inhabitants of the world to keep Sunday as day of rest. The Bible said the second beast coming out of the earth, which is America, will ask the earth, every person, to keep Sunday, not China. Therefore, if China is a challenger, the power of China needs to be blown away. To me, once Russia will be over, China will come after. And then you will understand what the power of the United States of America is. Some of us have decided not to do this or that because the government asked. We will see if we're strong when Sunday law is enforced. This is the end of time. Are we ready for the end of time? If you want to be ready, stand to your feet. Let me pray. Stand to your feet, please. If you want to be ready, let me pray for you. Let me pray for us that God would give us strength for this time. Dear God, we thank you for this timely message. A message that highlights what we ought to do even when trials come to bring us down. We know that Jesus is in heaven. He had made all provision that we may be victors, even when the whole world is against us. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us the same strength that he had when he was persecuted and executed. Give us the same strength that Peter had when he asked to be crucified upside down. He believed that he was not worthy to be crucified as was his master, Jesus Christ. Give us the strength of the pioneers of the Protestants in the dark ages. Give us the strength of Daniel in the lion's den. Give us the strength of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Save us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.